Although the first day of spring was the 20th of March, according to calendars, it certainly does not look or feel like spring outside today. Time to bundle up and get warm, or better yet, stay inside. But to keep our spirits up, we have decided to interview two people who have totally different opinions when it comes to spring in Montreal. Here's our first guest, Felix Antoine. What's your view on the springtime weather in Montreal?
What springtime weather? It's freezing outside. I don't know how people can keep going about their business with a few feet of snow on the ground. I just sit inside and try to keep warm. Honestly, I don't even know why I live here. And to make it worse, Pauline Marois may win the election. Ugh.
Okay, thank you, Felix. And as we'll hear soon, someone else shares Felix's opinion on Pauline Marois. Moving on to our next guest, Stephanie Woods. Hi, Stephanie. How's it going?
Great. I think that the fact we're having all this warm weather is just amazing. I've been spending so much time outside, walking, running, and just enjoying spring.
Thanks, Stephanie. Glad to hear someone that is staying positive. Now we're moving on to some stories and songs on Anything Goes, 90.3 FM, for kids, by kids, all kids radio. Enjoy!
Losing Her Mind by Grace Manning. My eyes jerk open at the sound of a splash. I tiptoe downstairs and out into the balmy night. I see a figure standing on the rotted dock. Ray, I called softly. As I step closer, I realize that my sister is soaking wet and shivering. Ray, what are you doing out here? I start when I glimpse her eyes. She stares at me for a moment, then steps back, swings her arms over her head, and plunges into the water. I don't have time to think. I jump in after her and feel the icy water close over my head. I'm surprised at how dark it is. The inky blackness swallows Ray, and I lose sight of her for a moment. Out of nowhere, a hand clamps onto my leg and pulls me under. I panic, screaming bubbles into the water. My head spins and everything grows fuzzy. All at once, Ray lets go and I shoot up to the surface. I pull myself up onto the jetty and collapse, my body drained of energy. Ray climbs onto the dock and stands beside me, looking down with horror. When she speaks, her voice cracks like she hasn't used it in a long time.
Cat, I...
Her voice breaks and she begins to cry.
Please help me, Cat. Please.
That was the first time Ray has ever done something like that, but it was far from the last. I've begun to see changes in my younger sister, which scared me. She wanted to be alone all the time. She talked in different voices, like someone was using her body to communicate through. She had full conversations with herself, arguing, laughing. I would look out my bedroom window and see Ray standing in the middle of the grove of apple trees in our backyard, dancing, swaying to some music that only she could hear. I walk across the grass and settle down just outside the ring of trees. Ray sits inside it, talking. Ray, I ask quietly, I don't want to startle her. She turns around quickly. I realize with a jolt that she doesn't even recognize me. She turns back to the thing in her lap. I move around the edge of the circle until I can see the doll she's holding, one she used to play with a lot. She holds it gently, rocking it, and then suddenly she whirls around and throws at me with such force that I jump back.
Get away,
she hisses.
I don't want you here. Go away.
I stare at her for a long moment, frightened out of my mind. I feel hurt and then realize that it's not even me she's talking to. It's herself. Only then do I register what's happening. My sister is losing her mind. Days go by, but Ray gets only worse. She begins to talk in different languages, saying words I know she would never have been able to pronounce if she were her real self. She talks like an old English lady, a French man. It changes day by day. All the people who tell her what to do, in her head. When she is herself, she tells me what they talk about all day, she and her imaginary friends. She likes it, as apparently they always tell her the right thing to do.
I don't have to decide anything for myself anymore,
she says. I can feel her slipping away, and what really worries me is that I'm not sure I'll be able to get her back. I hide my bike in the bushes and walk up to the huge gray building looming up in front of me. This is the last place I want to be. However, since I'm 18 and Ray's only guardian, I need to be here. I need to know. The deathly silence of the hospital comforts me. I'm used to the forever chatter of Ray. Even when she is silent, she's making noise, tapping, humming, clicking, whistling, laughing at jokes that have never been said aloud. The hallways are empty, but I can hear voices behind closed doors. Suddenly, the hospital isn't so quiet anymore. I can hear them, the laughs trailing off, the conversations full of questions and answers, all by the same person. I tiptoe down the halls, turning left, then right. I begin to feel desperate. I can't breathe. I almost crash into a man in a coat, so white that it hurts my eyes.
Ma'am?
He asks, in an inquisitive tone of politeness. I need to see the head doctor. Is there someone who runs this place? I'm getting angry now. I need to stop.
This way, ma'am,
he says gently, looking confused. I follow him into an office, piled high with folders and stray paper. Another man, who sits in a swivel chair, looks up as I enter.
Can I help you?
He asks pleasantly. He notices the tear lines on my face and frowns. I have a sister, I begin, and then I can't stop. I tell the man everything. At the end of it all, I'm crying again. Then I ask the dreaded question. Do you think this is the place for Ray? He looks at me for a long moment. He gives a slight nod. Ray walks slowly into the room. This is your new room, Ray, I tell her. I'm fighting off tears. She looks around and then bounds over to the bed. Ray's jabbering away to herself in that lilting English accent of hers. She's completely gone. I turn to leave and feel a tiny hand clasp mine and pull me around. I look down into my sister's face, and suddenly she's there. I don't know how, but she's there. She looks right back at me and gives my hand a squeeze.
Birthday shoes.
My mom works at a shoe store. Today was my birthday. I raced down the stairs hoping that everything would go right. My sister gave me a card, and my mom too. After I opened my card, it was time to open my gift. I saw a box that said Bruno's Shoes. That was my mom's shoe store. Was it really the shoes that I wanted? I opened the box excitedly, but they weren't really the shoes, Dad. They were super, super ugly. I couldn't really say I didn't like them, so I smiled and said thank you.
Your little sister chose them. Do you like them?
Mom said. They had green straps and the whole shoe was blue. I was not a baby. I knew how to tie my own shoes. The next morning, my mom woke me up for school. She told me to wear my new shoes. I knew that everybody was going to laugh at them, but I wore them anyway. When I arrived to my school called Will Dunes Middle School, I was a little nervous. I walked in my homeroom class. I just knew that someone was going to laugh at them. But surprisingly, nobody laughed. They all loved them. Even my teacher liked them. These must be super, super cool shoes.
Family by Tonya Jacobson.
Anthony, there's someone here for you.
4 years. Ever since my mom died and my dad disappeared, I lived in this orphanage. Since I was 2 years old, I kept hearing that sentence.
Anthony, there's someone here for you.
And every time I mess up. Since I was 2 years old, I longed for someone to take me as I am, to care for me, to love me. I longed for a family. But every time, they never come back after meeting me. Since I was 2 years old, I'm alone. I sit down in front of my potential parents. It's a young pair, about 25 years old each. We sit staring at each other. I'm bored. There's nothing different about them. I know how this will go. They talk to me, then they leave and never come back. Why try? Finally, the woman says something.
Hi, I'm Amanda and this is Axel. What's your name?
Anthony. You know that. I saw old Figgy, our teacher, give you the papers.
Okay, what do you like to do? The papers don't say anything about that.
What is there to do? I walk with the others, I talk, I read. Nothing much to like.
Do you want to take a walk?
It's the middle of winter, but sure, if you want. I don't really care.
Well, let's go then.
I put on my coat and go outside. We went to the nearby park. We walked for a long time. Amanda did most of the talking, and Axel just nodded along and sometimes said something in agreement. We started back in about 2 hours since it was getting dark. Axel ran into a nearby store and bought a new bright red sled. They said it was my present for New Year's. After we came back and said goodbye, I didn't just run away. I stood there for a long time, watching their backs disappear into the darkness. After some time, Figgy called me in, and I went to my room. Tomorrow was New Year's Day. I lay there with my eyes open long after everyone else was asleep. I walked up to the window and looked at the moon. I said what I say every year.
Santa, if you're listening, although I know you have other things to do, but would you spare me a minute and find me a family? That's all I want, you know. Just a family.
The next morning, I woke up. The sun shone bright through the window. Everyone was grumpy and reluctant on getting up, but Figgy was unyielding. Everything progressed like usual. Nothing special happened today or tomorrow or this week. For once, I had thought that they were the ones. There was something different about them. Like they weren't just looking at me as though I was something interesting in the market. but as though they actually regarded me as a potential family member. A week later, I heard Figgy calling my name.
Anthony, I have a surprise for you. If it's something else, they might as well go right now. If it's someone else, they might as well go right now. I think you would do well to come down. Now. Coming.
Why does she even bother? Like she thinks it could be something different. I run down the stairs, clumsily buttoning up my shirt. At the bottom, I stop with my mouth open. It's Amanda and Axel.
Come on, Anthony, let's go. Go where? Home.
And in that moment, they became a family.
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
Welcome to Would You Rather with Morgan.
Would you rather jump in a pool of sewer water or sit in a pile of cow poop?
I would rather jump in a pool of sewer water because cow poop is grosser than a pool of sewer water because it's only dirty water and cow poop is cow poop and that's poop. I would rather jump in a pool of sewer water because cow poop is grosser and dirtier than sewer water.
I'd rather jump in a pool of sewer water because I smelled cow poop once and it wasn't very good.
I would rather jump in a pool of sewer water because cow poop is just smelly.
Would you rather be married to the greatest celebrity or be the greatest celebrity?
I think I would choose be the greatest celebrity because people would like you more if you were the greatest celebrity than being just the husband or the wife of the greatest celebrity.
I think I would rather be married to the greatest celebrity because then I wouldn't be surrounded with all these paparazzis all over my house all the time, but I'll still be on TV and stuff because my husband is the greatest celebrity.
I would rather be the wife of the greatest celebrity because if my husband went to the Oscars, then I would be able to go on the red carpet and everything.
Would you rather make the greatest discovery in history or be part of the greatest event in history?
I think I would rather discover the greatest discovery in the world because then they'll always know you instead of the person that discovered it.
I'd rather be the discoverer of the greatest thing in history because then I could feel like I accomplished something really big.
I would rather make the greatest discovery in history because I think you get more credit.
Would you rather be a mermaid or a fairy?
I would rather be a
mermaid
because I love to swim and also because you get to see sea life and you can also travel everywhere by swimming and be on beaches and swim.
I would rather be a fairy because then you can fly and I've always wanted to fly and you can have better food. And also, I've always wanted to fly in the air.
Okay. Last question. Would you rather have the power to turn invisible or have the power to shrink down?
I think I would want to be invisible because then no one can see you if you're doing bad things or if you're sneaking food into your bedroom.
I think I would rather be invisible because then nobody could see you no matter what. But if I could shrink, it would be cool because I could hide in really cool hiding spots that normal people wouldn't be able to hide into. But if I'm invisible, I could do many other things and hide different kinds of stuff.
Peace by Sophia Boucher. Peace is something that should never end, like the cycle of trees. When it becomes autumn, the trees' leaves fall down. When it becomes spring, the leaves come back. It's like a never-ending cycle. Peace should never be fought for. It should have been already done. Some countries have peace, some don't. But all of us should make a difference. A difference that would make not only us being peaceful, but the countries that don't have peace. Thank you.
There I lay by Morgan Doak. There I lay on the ground, unable to open my eyes, covered in bruises, and all I hear is fans screaming and little kids yelling for me to get up.
and the sound of the other team laughing until they're out of breath. Not sure what to do. Do I get up? Do I wait for someone to help me? Do I just lie there with marks across my face and my bruised eyes shut closed and keep still for the rest of time? There I lay, dirt smudged across my jersey, scars everywhere, not even sure what happened anymore. I could barely remember anything. The only thing that came to mind was a big crash and then black. I couldn't move my body. I wanted to see if any bones were broken, and it came to, they were all broken. There I lay, my head aching, and would not stop pounding. I wonder if I'm in heaven. No, I couldn't be. Heaven wouldn't hurt this much. If I was in heaven, nothing would hurt anymore. I'd have no worries about anything, except for the family and friends I have that is still alive and has freedom to walk the earth with a living body. I would watch over them and be their guardian angel until it becomes the end of their days when they join me. But I'm definitely not dead, but I'm badly injured. The fact that I know that means I'm getting my memory back, that's a good sign. I felt so broken. The thing I could hear the most besides everything else was a little voice inside of me, not talking to me, but moaning. If there was one thing I felt, it was the rough grass below me. It's very itchy, but the fact that everything in my body was shattered, the grass felt like silk. I hear footsteps marching across the field. There's mumbling going on. Could it be Coach? Could it be a doctor? Could it be a family member? Or could it just be an opponent coming to laugh in my face? All I could do was lie there and hope for the best. The end.
My trip to San Francisco by Yura.
For my vacation, I went to San Francisco. It was so much fun. We went to so many places, such as the San Francisco Zoo, which we took a tram to get to, Alcatraz, many shops, the Exploratorium, which is a museum. San Francisco also has many amazing restaurants and different foods to try. My favorite restaurant that I went to was the American Eater, where we bought hot dogs and fed the birds. My favorite place that we went to was Alcatraz. Alcatraz is a giant prison where only the worst prisoners would go to. In 1962, it was shut down because it was too expensive to run and because people thought it was too cruel. And my second favorite place that we went to was the San Francisco Zoo. We saw lots of animals. We also fed goats. There were so many things like the park that we played in. I thought San Francisco was a great place to go. There are so many things to do there. I think I will have to go again.
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
Up on Gangnam Style.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
Gangnam Style.
Hi, my name is Jessica Marshall. I'm going to be reading the first two chapters from a book I'm writing called The Traded. Chapter 1, Flashbacks. I don't remember much before this life, before all the torture and pain, the loneliness, and the hatred. Unlike the other traded, I was taken. They were born into their fate, but occasionally giving a daughter to the trade masters is the only way to pay a debt. When I was 10, I was made into a traded. I remember the day clearly, as though it was yesterday. I remember my father coming home, his face red and blotchy. He looked at me, and when I smiled at him, he broke down crying and ran out of the room.
Stay here, Jillian. I'll go see what's wrong with your papi,
said my mother in a tight voice. The next thing I knew, I heard a shriek. Then the sound of more sobbing.
Shh, shh. Calm down, Murden. She mustn't find out,
I heard my father whisper urgently. I assumed he was talking to my mother since he said her name. But I wondered who they were talking about. Maybe it was me. Maybe they were planning a surprise party for me.
How could you, Keelan? Our only child! How? She is our only child!
Sobbed my mother. Now I was certain they were talking about me, but equally as certain that I wasn't getting a surprise party. I was right. That night, I was woken by the sounds of hushed conversation.
She's upstairs, But are you sure there is no other way to repay the debt?
Said my father in a worried tone.
We want the girl. Now bring her to us or suffer the consequences. You know we always get what we want.
Said a cold, cruel, hard voice. Moments later, my father was knocking softly at my door.
Hello, Jilly. May I come in?
He said in a melancholy voice. Of course, Pappy. What's wrong? I asked, with curious innocence that was long ago stolen.
There are some men downstairs. Mommy is visiting Aunt Claria, and she wants you to come see her. The men are going to take you,
he said in a trembling voice.
Be good, and always remember that I love you more than anything, and that you will always be your Poppy's little angel.
That was the last time I saw Keelan and Meriden Treston, my parents. Chapter 2. Now, I went a bit too far in the beginning. After all, I have a feeling that no one reading this is quite sure what a traded is. Consider yourself lucky, because it means you don't live my nightmare. A traded is what happens to a person when they have done terrible wrong. It is like a curse, stretching through your family tree. If one man murdered another, he and the rest of his family, generations through generations, will become part of the traded. When you are traded, you aren't considered a human. In the code of laws formed after the Great Fall, a time when there were so many earthquakes and other natural disasters, the world nearly ended, it says,
a traitor shall be silent, useful, and respectful to its master. It shall never be treated with humanity, for it is a sinning object who does not deserve to be human. It shall be punished for its sins, but never rewarded for its acts that show kindness or caring, because they aren't real. A traitor is only an inhumane object who has no feeling and a cold, unfeeling heart.
That is the definition of my life. I am a traded. Our name is almost a literal meaning of what we do. We are objects in a human body who are slaves, servants, and whatever our masters and mistresses want us to be. And we are traded at the drop of a hat, walking in the market in our chains and sacks that are considered enough clothing by our masters. We will be exchanged for a different traded. We have no names or identities. At least we aren't supposed to have. Secretly, we all have names. It is the only thing we can call ours, because we wake up every morning not knowing if we'll be resting in the same place, or even be resting. I am Jillian. I was made into a traded to repay my ancestors' debt. I am 14, and I will never give up hope of my Poppy rescuing me. After all, I am his little angel, aren't I? So, to continue reading my book, you can go on Wattpad, wattpad.com.
Or if you have an iPhone or an iPod or an iPad, you can get the app called Wattpad, Wattpad.
From there, you can search under the books, The Traded by Forever_Loving. That's me and that's my book. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Sky Scruton, and today I'm going to be talking about National Water Day, which was March 22nd last week. So, Water Day was founded by UNESCO, which is an organization with a dream to stop world thirst and give every country drinkable water. Today I'm going to be interviewing three girls, Julia Rochford, Jessica Marshall, and Grace Regan, and here they all are. So Jessica, why is water so important?
Because the unicorns need water to survive.
Jessica, that's not right, sorry. Grace, why is water so important?
Well, because cats need water to survive, and cats are the most important thing ever.
Sorry, Grace. Cats are very important, I agree with you, and they do need water to survive, but that is not why UNESCO holds this wonderful day. Julia?
Water is one of the most important things in the world because without water, the human population cannot survive, and our population would decrease.
Thank you. Question number two, how many people don't have drinkable water in the world? Grace?
Well, I think 1.6 million people don't, but 500 cats don't, so that's pretty important.
That's right. Over 1.6 million people in the world don't have water. I'm not quite sure on the cats, Grace. I will definitely look that up. Question number three, name a country that doesn't have a lot of drinkable water. Julia?
South Africa does not have a lot of drinkable water.
That is right. Perfect. So, moving on to question number four. What are some of the things we can do to prevent this problem? Jess?
Well, we could stop giving the water away to aliens.
Jess, we haven't discovered aliens yet.
That's what the government says.
Moving on. Grace, what can we do to prevent this problem?
Well, we could employ cats. Because cats could do all the work for us and get the water, and the population would not decrease.
That sounds like animal abuse. I'm so sorry, cats. We will not do that. Julia?
You can actually make a donation to One Drop, and that is an organization that helps villages get clean water. If you make a donation of $100, you can buy one pump for a village, or if you make $1,000, it will probably buy enough pumps for a whole country.
That's very interesting. Number 5, what is one of the main pump names in Africa? Jess?
The main pump.
I wish, but sorry, no. Grace?
The cat pump, of course.
No, but that's actually a really cool name. Julia?
Play pump. Play pump is a huge pump that they build in villages. It is sort of like a park for young kids. The kids have this huge wheel that they can run around on and then jump on it. But while they're playing, the pipes suck up water from the ground and bring it into a bucket, if you would like to say, where it will delete all the bacteria. And after that, it falls down through this huge hole into buckets for villagers.
That's very interesting. And the last question, but definitely not the least, what food product has the most water?
Grains.
No, sorry. Grace?
Dairy, because cats love dairy.
No. Julia?
Fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables have the most water.
That is right. And this is the end of this segment of the show. Thank you. I'm Sky Scruton.
I'm Julia.
I'm Grace.
And I'm Jess.
Thank you for listening.
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
To talk about very cool people and the bird. Why, hello, Southern Belle. What do you think about this cold weather we're having?
Y'all are crazy! It's cold like the North Pole. Do y'all have pet polar bears and mooses as pets?
Well, I'm not answering that, so thanks. Here, hey, there, students. What do you think about spring so far?
It sucks right now. I can't play soccer because my ball always gets getting stuck in the snow. And it's too cold to wear my soccer shorts.
What about your second student?
Well, the H2O is still frozen, and the permafrost is finally melting. A little bit, I guess.
Thanks, students. Now we're going to talk to a pigeon. So, pigeon, how do you feel about spring? I totally agree with you. Why, thanks, Pigeon. Now we're going to talk to a true Canadian. How do you feel about the spring weather we have?
Well, I know it's spring because it's roll up the rib, and I'm wearing my rubber boots instead of my boots, eh?
Well, that's all the time we have. This has been Anything Goes on CQUT 90.3 FM. For kids, by kids, all kids radio. This month's show was written and performed by Sophie Manning, Grace Manning, Tonya Jacobson, Tawa, Julia Rochford, Grace Regan, Susanna Albright, Morgan Doak, Vanessa Boucher, Sophia Boucher, Yurik Krzyzewski. Anything Goes is produced by Sarah DeAy, Amy Allison, and Michael Zachman. Tune in next month for another great episode. Bye!